This is the Hoboken Grace Podcast. Whether you're in the car or enjoying a walk, we hope you're having a great day. Just like every weekly conversation, we hope today's message deepens your relationship with God and builds into your life in a helpful way. For access to our full podcast library, visit hobokengrace.com or our app.
Well, as Sarah said, today is Child Dedication Sunday. For those of you that I haven't had the chance to meet, my name's Chris. I'm lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And if you started attending over the last couple of weeks, you have no idea who I am. I have been able to have a little bit of time off. Last week was an exciting week for me because it was my first Father's Day off since I became a dad. It was my first Father's Day that I wasn't speaking. As we come together today, we get to celebrate family in a really beautiful, really powerful way. And I'm excited to be able to be back to do that. And in a little while, what we're going to do, if you've never been here for child dedication before, in a little while, we're going to bring all the families on stage with the little ones that they're dedicating. And I'm going to ask them to make three commitments before you and before God as it pertains to their children. And then you're not just here to be an observer today. Then I'm gonna ask you to make a commitment back to them. And as you sit in this space, the reason why we have this space, a lot of it goes back to the commitment that we've been making for 16 years here at Hoboken Grace as it pertains to the little ones who have been dedicated inside of our family. And so before I do that, what I want to do is I want to walk you through the commitments that they're making, why we think these are significant, and what it looks like to actually dedicate your little one to God here at Hoboken Grace. As I said, I'm going to ask them to make three commitments. The first commitment that they're going to make as it pertains to their little one is this. Do you commit to raise your child as God's, what a special gift you've been given for a season? Now that seems obvious, but what we're saying there is this. I'm recognizing that my child does not belong to me. In other words, there's a season that I'm responsible for this little one. There's a season that I'm going to invest in this little one, but this little one does not belong to me. I recognize, and as part of this commitment, there's three things. I recognize that God loves my child more than I do, which is very difficult for parents to believe because they think no one could love their child more than they do, at least on most days. Some days they're like, someone else could love them, but most of the time, we think, no one could love them better than I do. But we're recognizing, no, God actually does love them more than I do. Number two, that God has a better plan for them than I do. This also is very difficult for parents because they have plans. And if you're here and you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. You have plans, and you have a plan of what they're going to become, and you have a plan of where they're going to go to school, and you have a plan of how successful they and what can happen as a parent is that we begin to pursue our plan, and we lose sight of the fact that they're not here on accident. And for those of you who are here and you're kind of exploring this Jesus thing, I want you to understand this. As God steps in your life, he doesn't say, hey, listen, you're accidentally here, but I think I can do something with it. He doesn't say you're accidentally part of the story, but I can kind of make this work. No, as God steps into your life, he's very specific about this. Listen to what it says in Psalm 139. It says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, and I was woven together in the dark of your womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. I want you to know, you're here on purpose for a purpose. Doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done. It doesn't matter even what you believe. God intentionally brought you into this story. And one of the things that we're going to talk about this fall, and I think this is becoming even more significant inside of our culture, is because I struggle with people who are, I interact with a lot of people who struggle with how they're created, they struggle with who they are, they struggle with their weaknesses. And one of the things that I think God shares with us is not only are you here intentionally, But he also shares with us that he has a specific role for you to play in the story. And the reality is that when you discover the role that he has for you to play in the story, you'll realize you were perfectly created for it. Listen to me very carefully. This is really important. When you discover the role that you're intended to play in the story, you will discover that you're perfectly created for it. It's not a mistake. You're not a mistake. And these parents are making this commitment to say, okay, I'm not raising them according to my plan. I understand God has a better plan for my child than I do. He knows my child better than I do. And so therefore, I'm leaning into my relationship with God, not just so that they can see me have that relationship, but because I need to know his plan. I need to know who he wants them to become. And so that's the first commitment that they're going to make today. The second commitment is this: do you commit to teaching and training your child to leave? In other words, I understand I'm not always going to be there. They're not always going to be able to be with me. And again, as a parent, some days, it's interesting because from the time that they were born, I've told my boys this, and I continue to tell them this. And at first it was, hey, you've got 18 years. You've got 18 years, then you got to go. Now they're older, it's like four. You got 4 years left, and then you got to go. And some days you're like, oh, but I want to keep them. And most days you're like, no, you got to go. But you recognize as a parent, and this is really important, that, okay, I'm preparing them for when I'm not there. And that may be because of the fact that I'm no longer here, or that may be because of the fact that God takes them wherever he's going to take them inside of his plan. And I'm not going to be there. And so I've got to prepare them to be able to not just begin that journey of the plan that God has for them, but I've got to prepare them to be able to walk that journey and to be able to live that out. And so as part of that commitment, there's three things as well. Number one is putting your relationship with God first. Discipleship is never taught. It's always demonstrated. It's always demonstrated. Your kids are always watching you, and they're watching to see what's important. What is it that never gets moved on the schedule? What is it that gets the most of the time, talents, treasures? That's what's most important. And we communicate priority through action. And so the commitment that they're making is, no, I'm going to demonstrate the significance and the priority of God by putting him first. Why? Because if they can see that in my life, they can begin to develop that in their own life, and that's going to be the most significant thing when I'm not there. Because I want them to have that relationship with God where they can go to him themselves, and he can lead them forward. And so I'm putting my relationship with God first. I'm putting my marriage second. One of the really interesting things that God teaches us about marriage and why he created marriage, why we have marriage, Ephesians 5:25 says this: for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. God teaches us that the reason why he gave us marriage is so that we could understand the way that Jesus loves the church and the relationship that Jesus has with the church. That's why he created marriage. That's why we have marriage. And so the commitment that they're making is, listen, I understand that my children's ability to love, their understanding of love, where they're going to learn love is inside of our relationship. And so I'm going to prioritize that. I'm going to prioritize my relationship with God so that they see that in action. I'm going to prioritize my relationship with my spouse, so that they see that in action. They learn how to love there. That is the foundation upon which they launch into life. And this is a really interesting one, because It is incredibly essential for our children to be able to see that. And yet, our children do everything they can to destroy it. Everything they can to destroy it and to drive you apart. Every day my kids try to drive my wife and I apart. And they'll go ask one and then secretly ask the other. And, oh, but mom told me I could. And they demand all of our time and energy. And so the commitment is, no. I'm going to prioritize loving the one that God's called me to love as my spouse and build that foundation for them, demonstrate what love looks like. And one of the other things that we get to teach them as we prioritize that relationship is that we teach them they're not the center of the world, which they wholeheartedly believe they are. Wholeheartedly. And so we put our spouse second, and then we put our child third. Now, people, almost every time we do a child dedication, people will come to me and say, what do you mean you put your child last? No, third. Third is not last. We don't have a time to go through the whole list. We're just going to go through the top three. Third is not last, but this is really significant because it is a commitment to put our child third. In other words, third is above my career. Third is above my hobbies. Third is above a lot of other things. A lot of other things. And so we're saying, no, they're going to be a priority in our lives. And they're not an accessory to my life. They're a priority. And so they make the commitment to put their child third. The next commitment that we're going to ask them to make is this: do you commit to creating a safe place for your child to meet Christ? By being humble and growing in Christ yourself, because as we said, discipleship is demonstrated. By welcoming rebuke when you are wrong. The commitment that they're making is to be able to acknowledge, listen, I make mistakes. And it's really important for our kids to see us make mistakes and to be able to see, okay, how do we deal with that? Do we hide it? Do we address it? Are we growing? Your kids don't need to think you're perfect. Your kids need to see you growing. This was something that I really struggled with as I grew up because my parents had a phenomenal relationship, but they also had an incredible ability to be able to hide when they were struggling. So I never saw it. I never saw my parents fight in any way, shape, or form. I never really saw them even disagree. They were really good at doing that behind closed doors. And I remember growing up and I had this conversation with my dad and I said to him, I said, I'm never going to get married. He said, why do you keep saying you're never going to get married? And I said, I can't do what you and mom do. I'd never be able to do that. And he's like, let me tell you some stories of things that you didn't get to see, but we really struggled through. Perfection, if you live your life as a parent and you present to your kids perfection, they're never going to believe they can do it. It will hinder their growth. They don't need to see you be perfect. They need to see you grow. Because they can look at it and say, well, I can do that. And so we're honest about when we're wrong. By being the same people in public that you are at home. One of the interesting things about parenting is studies actually show that kids thrive under bad parents more than they do with inconsistent parents. Because they know what they're going to experience. One of the most destructive things in a child's life is when they don't know what they're going to experience when they walk in the door when they get home or who they're going to experience. It eliminates all security. And so the commitment that they're making is, no, I'm not going to walk into church and present one thing and be a different thing at home. No, I'm going to be the same no matter where it is that I am. And I'm going to be honest about my flaws and my strengths, my weaknesses. Because this journey is not about being perfect. It's about growing. And so those are the commitments that I'm going to ask them to make to you and to God today. But then in return, I'm going to ask you to make a commitment back to them. That commitment is this. Hoboken Grace commits to create a safe church family. Number one, by joining together to fight gossip and broken relationships in our church family. It doesn't mean that there won't be broken relationships. There will be broken relationships. I promise you there will be broken relationships because we are broken people. And if you ever go to a church where they tell you there's not going to be broken relationships, you need to leave very quickly. Because that means they're hiding. And as a church, we say, okay, no, we're going to fight gossip. Some of the thing that will destroy our ability to carry out our mission in our community faster than anything else is gossip. It's when rather than going and talking to the person that we've been hurt by or that we have a problem with, we start to talk to other people about it. And some of you grew up in churches that were full of gossip. It's why you left the church. It's why you've never come back until today. Because you looked at it and you said, there's no way that's what Jesus intended. And it isn't. As a matter of fact, gossip is one of the things that the New Testament talks most harshly about. And so it's a commitment that, no, there's going to be broken relationships. Things are going to happen. We're going to get hurt, but we're going to go talk to that person. We're going to address that. We're not going to talk to other people about it. Number two, by admonishing each other when we're wrong, by welcoming rebuke when we're wrong as a church. So it's not just the parents that are saying, hey, listen, I'm going to welcome correction, but as a church, we're going to recognize we're going to make mistakes as a church. We're broken. I'm going to make mistakes as a pastor. I'm broken. If you want a perfect pastor, you got to go to a different church. I'm telling you right now, this is not that church. We're broken. But here's the thing, and historically, this has been a massive mistake that the church has made. And some of you, this is what you think. Your friend invited you here because of the dedication today, but you think, and churches have presented this, historically, the church has bought into the lie that the power of our testimony is holiness. In other words, the power of our testimony is we get it right. Now, the interesting thing is, Jesus never promised that. Jesus didn't say, hey, listen, give your life to me and you'll stop sinning. That's not what it, no. He didn't promise that. As a matter of fact, he promised you're still going to keep sinning. That's a promise. The strength of our testimony has never been holiness. Now, are you declared holy because of the blood of Jesus and what he did for you and how he gave his life for you? Yes. Does that mean you stop sinning? No. But the strength of the church's testimony has never been holiness. Jesus' promise wasn't that you would stop sinning or that the church was going to be perfect. No. Jesus' promise is you're going to keep sinning, but in the midst of your sin, you're going to experience this thing called grace. As a matter of fact, there's this passage where Jesus says that in future ages, God's going to point back to this part of the story. So this story that we're in the midst of right now, this isn't the whole story. And in the verse, it implies the fact that there are going to be other stories that are told after this part of the story ends. And he says in future ages, he's going to point back to this part of the story as an example, not of holiness. It's going to be an example of his grace and kindness. The message of the church isn't that you can be perfect or that we're going to be perfect. The message of Jesus is that we're broken, but he gives us his grace. The power of our testimony is grace, not holiness. It's grace. When you make the mistake, and this is what's happened historically with the church, when you make the mistake of thinking that the power of your testimony is holiness, you know what you start to do? You start to hide things. Because you have to look better than you are. And that has destroyed the church for a long time. The power of our testimony isn't holiness. It's grace. And so as a church, the commitment that we're making is the commitment to say, no, we're going to acknowledge when we messed up. We're going to acknowledge when we were wrong. And just like those parents are going to demonstrate what it means to step into God's grace, we're going to do the same thing as a church. And so those are the commitments that we're going to make back to them, ending with this, that we commit to showing the authentic love that Christ has for each of these children. The reason why we have this space, the number one reason why we began to look for a permanent space was not for this gathering. The number one reason we began to look for permanent space was for Grace Kids to continue growing and for us to be able to impact the teens inside of our community. That was the number one driver, and it had everything to do with this commitment. For 16 years, we've been saying we're going to do everything that we can to show the authentic love that Christ has for each of these children. And we knew that that meant that we were going to have to take our impact to an entirely different level inside of Grace Kids, to an entirely different level with Vibe and our teen ministry and the group that was developing there. And so that drove us to say, okay, what can that look like? And that brought us to this place. And today we make that commitment again. We say we're going to do everything that we can to be able to love these kids as best as we can. And so that's the commitment I'm going to ask you to make back to them. Before they bring the little ones on stage, I want to give you a chance to be able to meet them. So check this out.